The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Yud Aleph. Today's daf is being said on Mishmat Morizik and Yosef Ben Sarah, Marat Zeken, Ati Yafa Bat Sarah, Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther, Wachashem Ten Hamik and Eden. Amen. Rufa Shalom Ayur, Hashem Ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama, Bat Rachel, Sarah Bat Rachel, Enna Refa, Na Lahem, Nefuat HaNefesh, Urfat HaGufat HaMkram, Allah Vechina, Asom HaNomar. Amen. We begin the Mishnah on Yud Amud Bet. Kol Hashtarot. Any shtarot or documents that are written in secular courts of the goyim, even though the signatures are goyim, kisherim, the document is indeed kasher chutz, negitin hashim v'shechrorei avadim, except for a divorce paper, get, and the get that frees these slaves. These items are not kosher because anybody that's not in the perasha of gittin cannot write a get. And since goyim do not give divorces to their wives, they're not involved in the parasha of get. A goy doesn't get married, and therefore the kiddushin is not a kiddushin, therefore gittin is not a gittin. Therefore, he cannot write it. However, regular documents of money, like we'll see in the Gemara, they are allowed to draft and even sign, and it is considered binding. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af elu kesherin. Rabbi Shimon is even more lenient. Even a get in a secular court is kesher. Lo skiru ela bizman shenasu beedyot, and that what it said in the Bet Midrash, that secular courts the shtarot are not valid. That was only talking about where it was a hedyot, where it wasn't a court that was sanctioned by the government, but it was a hedyot. A simple couple of goyim got together and sat down, unsanctioned by the government. So then their documents are not legal. But according to the Bishimon Arkaot, that's the professional courts that are set up by the government, their documents, all of them, are legal. Now, according to everybody, monetary documents are legal in the court system of the goyim. So the Gemara says, Kapasek v'taneh, the Mishnah gave a blanket ruling and stated, La shena mecher, la shena matana. Which means the Mishnah does not make a difference on what type of monetary document, whether it's a shtar mecher or a shtar matana. What is a shtar mecher? What is a shtar matana? So let's review. Shtar mecher is a document of purchase. For example, a person wants to buy a field. Has a person buy a field is nicknamed with money. So he pays the money in front of the court, and the court witnesses the transaction. They then write up a shtar that they witnessed the transaction. Now the transaction is executed by the money. The shtar is just the proof that the transaction happened. So the seller doesn't say, I never got paid, or the buyer says, I never got the field. So therefore, such a transaction is called mechir. Now, shtar matana is something else. Matana, let's say, he's giving his friend a gift. He's gifting him the field. Now, gifting it is no money transaction. So what makes the transaction? The actual shtar itself. So there's a big difference between a mechir, that the transaction is made by the money, and the shtar is just a testimony that it happened, or shtar matana, where the matana is executed by the shtar itself. Now, the Mishnah did not make a difference between what type of monetary transactions a betin alkaot could make. So the Gemara says, La shena mecher v'la shena matara. So the Gemara says, Bishlama mecher, I understand why you trust him on a shtar mecher. Mechi yahiv zuze kamayu hu dekana. Because the transaction really takes place by the money. When the money is handed over, the karka is bought. Ushtara ra'aya ba'alma. The shtar is more of a proof that it happened. De'ilo yaiv zuze kamayu. Because if the buyer did not give money to the seller, lo avu mar'e nafshayu v'chadvin neshtara. Haram. The Arkaot are not going to write a shtar and have signatures sign it. They're not going to ruin their reputation if the transaction never happened. Which means they're not making the transaction. The transaction is taking place by the Yisrael that paid money. It's just that we can trust them that they're not going to lie and write a document that it happened if it didn't happen. They don't want to ruin their reputation. So therefore you can trust them in that. However, Ela Matana B'may Kakane. But the matana, a gift, what makes the transaction? Lav behaishtara, isn't it the shtar? Behaishtara hasma be'almau. But the shtar of it is a piece of pottery. It's junk, which means it's got two goyim signed on it. So therefore, how can a goy shtar that has avdei kochavim signed on it execute a kinyan? To prove that a kinyan happened via money, I'll trust them. But to make the kinyan through the shtar itself with goyim signed on it, How does such a thing work? That is a big machloket. If goyim are pasul mina Torah to testify, according to that, so if they're pasul mina Oraita, so therefore, pasul can understand the question. How could the pasul mina Oraita that are signing on a shtar make the matana viable? They are indeed pasul. But the Samshitot that say that Oved Kochavim is kasher mid the Oraita to testify. So then according to that, the question is that since they are not in the parasha of Kinyanim, like the Jewish people, just like we say by a get, they can't write a get because they're not in the parasha. So they're also not in the parasha of a Kinyan like a regular Jew. So therefore the Chavra, if they're not in the parasha, they should not be able to execute a matana. That is the question. So comes the Gemara and answers. Two answers. Amar Shmuel, Dina de Malchuta, Dina. The law of the land is the law. Which means, when it comes to monetary items that are established by the government court system that's set up, that has validity and has power like the laws of Yisrael. Which means, and therefore, even a shtar matana, that the matana is happening by the shtar itself, we give the goyim rights in their alkaot, in their secular courts, to make these dinim happen. There's a power to them. That is the first answer of the Gemara. Comes the second answer of the Gemara and says, V'iba etema tini chutz mechegite nashim. Second answer of the Gemara says, you're right. Shtar matana will not work in alkaot. And you know what? When the Mishnah said that monetary works, it only talking about shtar mecher. That's just, they're just testifying that the money was given over. What about a shtar matana? Does not work. Just like a get doesn't work. Because a get and a shtar matana have something in common. The event is happening by the shtar itself. So therefore, when the Mishnah says, chutz megite nashim, read it, chutz mechegite nashim. Except items that are similar to Giten Hashim. That what? That the star makes the item. So therefore, Matana is excluded. Therefore, you're right. According to the second answer, Dinat Malguta is only a din by Shtar Mecher. That what? Where the execution of the item takes place by the money and the star is just a testimony that it happened, that's fine. But according to the second answer, the Gemara says, but when it comes to Matana, no, Matana is like a get, where the actual star itself is causing the transaction. Therefore, just like they cannot do get, so too they cannot do shtar. So it's a fantastic nafkamina between the two answers. I mean, when I say get nashim and shalom, everything go together. That's a very fantastic nafkamina between the two answers. If shtar matana will work by the arkaot shel goyim, that's the way some of the rishonim want to say that there's actually indeed a machloket. And the explanation is that dinah de malchuta is only on a transaction. But we don't say dinah de malchuta on a gift. Gift is two friends. Each guy gives his friend a gift. The Torah doesn't give a power to the dinah de malchuta. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Now we really have to understand the Bishavon. Rabbi Shimon said an amazing shita. He said even a get that comes out of a goy court is valid. How is that possible? You have signatures of goyim on it. How could they validate a get? We're not talking about a civil divorce. We're talking about the regular divorce of the Torah. How could a document that comes out of a goy court be valid? So the Gemara says, "V'halav benekiritut ninu." What are you talking? They're not benekiritut, which means they're not in the parasha. The Torah says, "V'chatav v'natan." Anybody that is in the parasha v'natan that can give a get can write a get. Goyim are not in the parasha of giving getin. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Zera, Yarad Rabbi Shimon l'shitto shel Rabbi Elazar." You have to say that Rabbi Shimon is following Rabbi Elazar Shita where there was Ade Mesira. Because Rabbi Elazar's review holds that what makes the get, not the signatures on the document, the fact that the two witnesses watched the get being given over to the wife. That's called Ade Mesira. And therefore, if you hold like Ade Mesira, if you hold the witnesses that watched the get being given over, so you had those edim. Oh, but even though you had those edim, so it's not the goyim that made the get, it's the two Jews that watched it being given over, they made the get. But hold it, you still got two goyim signed in your shtar over here. But didn't Rabbi Elazar agree that you're right, you don't need edim in the shtar. So don't put any edim. But when you put bad witnesses, that ruins it. Because we made a gezerah that if you put them in the shtar, you might come to use them for the adeh mesira. So how do you get around this problem over here? So the Gemara said, "Achad ma'askinam b'shemot muvakim." Right? We learned this earlier. We said, we're talking about it where you put names that it's known that these are goyim names. Mm-hmm. Explicit goyim names. So nobody's going to make a mistake to use these adeh hatima as Ade Mesira. So therefore, if anybody wants to review, when the Bishimon said, you could use Arkaot, you could use the courts of Goyim, right? You could use them for your for Gittin, it's talking about with Ade Mesira and Shemot Muvhakim and explicit names of the Goyim that are in the Shtar itself. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, give me some examples of goyim names. Amar Rav Papa Kegon Hurmiz. That's one. The Abudina, Bar Shiftai, Bar Kidri, Bati, the Nakim Una. Now Tosfot over here has a different girsa. Instead of Hurmiz, he has Hurmin. Benun, right? He says over here that's the shita of that, Amen. And the next Tosfot he has Abu Daina. He says that's all one name. He says Abu is a Jewish name, so Abu Daina is one long name. Shabtai is Goreset Shin Bet Taf Aleph Yud, okay, like that, and then Batai, he's Goreset Bet Tet Aleph Yud, as opposed to Bati, with this Bet Tet Yud, he says that is a Jewish name. In any event, those are Shemot Muvhakim. Comes the Gemara and says, Aval, Shemot She'en Muvhakim, Mai. So the Gemara says, what about Shemot She'en Muvhakim? No, you're going to tell me that's not good. Why? Gezira that you might come to use them as the Ade Mesira. Why? So the Gemara says, Ihache Adetani Sefa. Lo iskiru elam as much as you behediot, leflog velitni bedida. But me devarim amurim b'shimun mevakim. Aval shimot she'en mevakim lo. Which means like this. Rabbi Shimon, you're telling me why you trust Arkaot no matter what the shtar is. Whether it's a shtar mecher, whether it's a shtar matana, whether it's a get. Very nice. And then what did the end of the Mishnah say? But that's only talking about in Arkaot. But in Hidyotot, Hidyotot means it's not an official court that's established by the government. So that type of court does not have the power to enforce these laws. So the Bishmo makes a haluk between Arkaot and Hidyotot. So the Gemara says, why do you have to make that chiluk between two different type of courts? Keep it in Arkaot and just make a difference between whether the Shemot were Muvhakim or not Muvhakim. And say the following, that which I told you, the get is good. That's only talking about when it's Arkaot and the names are explicitly going names, so we're not going to make a gizra that you're going to come to use them for Adem Mesira. But if it's in Arkaot, Akod means the secular court by the government. But the Shemot are not Mufakim, so that's going to be Asur because we're worried about the Gezerah, which is keep it in Arkaot and just make a Haluk between Shemot Mufakim and not Shemot Mufakim. Just in general, always when we're learning, it's always better to minimize the difference. Instead of making a vast difference, Arkaot and Hijotot, keep it in Arkaot and make the Haluk within. So comes the Gemara and says, actually, that's what the Mishnah was doing. And the Gemara says like this, Hachin Namik Amar. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. How? B'med devarim amarim b'shemot muvakim. Ava b'shemot she'en muvakim. Na'asa kemi she'na'asu behedyot ufsulin. Which means read the end of the Mishnah like this. That which we said this dina to get this keshet, that's dafka b'arkaot u'b'shemot muvakim. But if it's not Shemot Muvakim, it's going to have a law as if it was written in a Hidyot court. And what's the law in a Hidyot court? No good. So therefore, it's really making the Hiluk between Muvakim and not Muvakim. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Aval, Shemot She'en HaMuvakim, Na'asu Kish'ar Shtarot Shel Mecher. Right, if it's a get, that's not a Shemot Muvakim, it's like a regular document of sale. Shena'asu b'idyotot b'lo arkaot. Now, why is it, let's speak out, why is it in a regular court, not an arkaot, officially government established court, why is a shtar mechid not good in a hidyot court? So the explanation that she says is because they're not scared to lie, these guys. Means the guys that are working for the government, they're not going to testify that a sale happened. If it didn't happen, they're going to let witnesses sign a paper. However, as she says, they're not scared to ruin their reputation. They'll sign falsely. They'll sign falsely. דעתם איכה לפלוגי בין הדיות הערכאות דאילו בגט אישה לעניין קריטות הדיות והערכאות שווין, which means לגבי גט, it doesn't matter whether you wrote it in a ערכאות or הדיות, because you're not relying on those witnesses anyway, you're relying on the idea מסירה. So לגבי גט, it doesn't matter what type of court you use for the גויים. Understand that point, because we're not using the star to make the get, we're using the idea misirat to make the get. That which the end of the Mishnah said, it's like a star that was written in a hidyot court. It means a star mecher that was written in a hidyot court. That's not going to be good because you suspect that they're going to lie. So therefore, a get with not shemot muvhakim in arkaot is like a star mecher in hidyotot. Exactly, that both are not going to be good. Comes the Gemara and says,
a good hidyot would make a difference anyway because the identity that is put on.
Right. So comes the Gemara and says another answer. Sefa atan legitem amon. No, the Sefa is not going according to the Bishamon at all. Which is, you're right, the Bishamon, there's a difference in Arkaot, whether it's Shemot Muvakim or not Muvakim, good. The end of the Mishnah when it discussed Hidyotot was going back on what the rabbi said in the beginning of the Mishnah. V'achi kamar, lo iskeru gitim amon de pesulin ela bezman chena'asu behedyot. That was the rabbi said in the beginning of the Mishnah. That what? You could write a shtar mecher right in a court. That's only talking about where it was arkaot. However, behedyotot, you cannot. Why? Because the hedyotot, we suspect that they're going to lie. And then what's nothing to do with the Bishamon? The Sefa is going back on the Resha. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Atan negitem amon, verabanan ka'amri, leva'aresha ka'e. Kol ashtarot shel mamon, ha'olin ba'arkaot shel ovdeko kavim kesherin. As we say in the Mishnah, all shtarot of mamon that come in arkaot kegon, shtar mecher uk de parishit, tamale dezuze kanule, because the money is making these transactions, v'shtara l'shtarot ha'be'alma. Right? And the shtar is just a is a proof. The Lord, the Aid Zuze Kamay, Love him, and Afshay, the Mechtav. Because the money wasn't given, the court is not going to write their names and let them write the names we read on the start. However, that's only talking about in Arkaot. However, Bismachin Asu Bejot, the Lord, Kapti, our Aid Afshay, so therefore it's not going to be okay. So therefore, don't, your question was, why did Nabi Shimon make a Hiluk in Hidyotot? He didn't make a Hiluk in Hidyotot. That wasn't Nabi Shimon. The Sefer of the Mishnah is actually going back on the Resha. So you read the Mishnah like this. Hachamim say, if you go to Arkaot, you could write a Shtar. You could write a Shtar Mechir. And then the Mishnah says, that's what he's talking about, Arkaot. But if it's an Hidyotot, no. Why can't you write a Shtar Mechir in Hidyotot? because you don't trust them. The guys will lie. What do you mean they'll lie? They're going to write a shtar even though the money wasn't given over. Therefore, you cannot trust them. The hijotot. Hijotot are not, and don't answer to the government. They, three guys sat down and made a court of their own. So therefore, in the Chinami, the Sefer does not pose a question on Rabbi Shimon. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanya. Amar Rabbi El Azab Rabbi Yosef. Kach Amar Rabbi Shimon Hachamim Betzidon. Okay, the following conversation took place. Rabbi Shimon told the Hachamim in Sidon. Lo nihreku Rabbi Akiva v'Hachamim. Which means, generations before our argument in the Mishnah, there was a mahalok din Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim, also on the subject of Arkaot and Shtarot. So he said like this, the mahloket of Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim, al kol ha-shtarot ta'onim ba'arkaot shodei kukavim, שאפלפי שחותמים עובדי כוכבים כשרים ואפילו גיטי נשים ושחרורי עבדים. According to this, everybody, רבי עקיבא, חכמים, ארכאות, everything is kasher. שטרות of money, monetary, and שטרות of גיטי נשים and שחרורי עבדים. Why? We'll say like we learned till now. Because you have עדי מסירה, and Shemot Muvhakim, and since you have Adem Mesirah and Shemot Muvhakim, there's no problem to come out by a get. You're relying on the witnesses that saw the get being given over, that was the Jews. What about the Gezerah that you have Goyim in the Shtar? Their names are obvious names, and therefore you won't come to use them as Adem Mesirah. That everybody agrees to. Lo nechleku ela, so where's the machloket? Ela bezman shena'asu behedyot. The machloket is when it was done in a hedyot court. That's a court that is not working for the government, a freelance court like that. Now, what is it saying over here? Should Rabbi Akiva makshir? Because Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, what? It is still kasher. Which means, I don't care about a get. A get doesn't matter which court you're riding in. Even a monetary. Now, what's the logic why a monetary, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be good in hijotot? So he holds, the way that Ramban explains, that they're scared the hijotot also. Because if they get caught lying, the government will come and punish them. So Rabbi Akiva says, even hijotot that are not officially government courts, still don't want to get caught lying. V'achamim posli. But the achamim come along and say, no. In a hijot court, they're not scared to lie. Therefore, the document is not a good document. Chutz, negite, nashim, v'shehore, avadim, that even in a hijot court, it's going to be okay, because again, I got the idea, Mesirah and Shemot, Muvakim. Okay, so that's that. Comes the Gemara and says, Rashbag Omer, Bacho Gamle Omer, Af Elu Kesherin, Bimkom She'en Yisrael Chotmim. Now, what is he saying over here? Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, even Giten Nashim, right? That which we said, according to the first Shita, Giten Nashim, we said, I don't care if it's Arkaot, I don't care if it's Hidyot, I'm relying on Adem Mesida, I'm relying on Shimon Muvakim. Rashbag comes and he's stringent. He says, wait, not so fast. Af Elu Kesherim Bimkom She'en Yisrael Chotmim. That's only in a place where the custom was where Jews don't sign on Gittin. And it's Shemot Muvakim. So you need an extra condition here. Look at Ashi. Kesherim Bimkom She'en Yisrael Chotmim. Second wide line. Kelomar, Af Elu Gittin Ashim She'atem Makshirim Ematayim Kesherim במקום שאין ישראל חותמים בעיר, שאין עובדי כוכבים מניחים את ישראל לחתום. It's a certain city where the goyim do not allow Jews to sign on a get. They're in charge of the getting process. תכיוון שאין ישראל חותמים באותה העיר, הכל יודעים שהם עובדי כוכבים, ואין סומכים עליהן, ומסע לניעלה בעדים ישראל. Which you gotta have to, you gotta have a city that is clear Jews do not sign. Because then for sure I don't gotta worry about having a mistake to think to use the Edim on the start to add Mesira. Next Rashi, Aval, במקום שישראל חותמים, אף על פי שהשמות הללו מובהקים, דעובדי כוכבים הן, פסולים. תהי מכשירת בהני, Amazing. But in a place where Jews sign Gittin, even if the Shemot are going to be Muvakim, that they're Goyim names, no good. You know why? Gezerah Shemot Muvakim, Atu Shemot She'enam Muvakim. I'm going to make a Gezerah. And then what Shemot She'enam Muvakim could be, I don't know. I might not know that they're Goyim. But I might think they're Jewish, because Jewish people sign. And therefore, he said a stringency over here. You're telling me when it comes to Gittin, Rabbi Akiva, Hachamim, sign it in Arkaot, sign it in Yotot, doesn't matter. Because I'm not relying on the witnesses anyway. I'm relying on Adem Mesira. The witnesses' names are explicit names that I know they're Goyim. No mistake. The Vatican goes, I agree, but you need another condition. It's got to be in a place where only Goyim are allowed to sign Gittin. Because then already I'm going to know that these are Goyim. Masha'ekin, if you're in a city that Jews sometimes sign, even if it's Shemot Mufakim, I'm going to make a Gezerah Atu where the names are not Mufak, and you're going to think that they're Jewish, because Jewish people do sign sometimes, and therefore you're going to have a problem, so you're stringent. So it comes the Gemara and says, wait, already you're making Gezerot, right? So much you make a better Gezerah, another Gezerah. The Gemara says, Gemara says like this, Makom she'en Yisrael chotmin, even in a place where Jewish people don't sign, namer l'gzor, making it around that place also, atu makom she'Yisrael chotmin, which means, why are you only making a gezerah in a place where Jewish people sign? And your gezerah is what? Shemot shemot muvakim, atu shemot she'en muvakim, why don't you make a gezerah even in a place where no Jews sign, add to a place where Jews sign. We make a Gezerah from place to place. Besides making a Gezerah intra in the place itself where Jews sign, make a place where Jews don't sign, add to a place where they do sign. So the Gemara answers, Shema b'shema mahlif, atra b'atra lo mahlif. Names, you could mix up. But places, you're not going to mix up. Which means, I don't have to make a Gezerah, a place with Shemot Muvakim, at one place Shemot She'enam Muvakim. It's a place, one place to another place, that's a far Gezerah. But in the place itself, in names itself, then already you can mix up. So that's already the Bat Shemot Gamliel Shita, which is a fantastic Shita. Good. Now comes the Gemara and says, like this. Story. Ravina Savar La'akshture B'knufiyata De'armaeh. Ravina thought to allow a shtar that was written in Kanufi Atar, it's the public domain, the Arma'ah of a Goyim court. That she says they were not Arkaot, they were just regular Hidyotot, but it was a public display. They did it in public. And therefore he felt that normally we just said that what, in certain cases, according to the Hakamim, for example, when it's not Arkaot, they're not scared to lie. But he thought maybe in this case over here, since it's in public and the word's going to get out, so they want to protect their reputation, so he wanted to say, b'kenufiyata, in the public arena, even though they were Hidyotot, he wanted to makshir the shtar. So comes the Gemara and says, they told him, sorry, amalirafram arkaotinan. Sorry, it's got to be arkaot, which means if it's Hidyotot, we are not going to believe it, even though it's in the public and all that stuff, no good. Comes and tells another story. Tanan, Abaraba, Haishtara Parsa'a. Interesting case. So, shtar, it was written in Persian.
Lashon Parsi.
Okay, Lashon Parsi. De Masreni Ale Be'apesa De Israel. But the shtar was given over in front of Jewish witnesses. So the malve, that's the one that lent the money, is able to collect the money from metaltelin, from movables, but not from property that was sold. Now before we get to the sugya, let me explain to you the nature of how loans work and how collecting a loan works. Normally speaking, you have the malve, that's the one that's lending the money, and the love is the borrower. Now, normally a person, when he's lending money, he lends it in front of witnesses, so everybody knows what's going on, and he says, you know, so I lent them $1,000, and so on and so forth. As long as it's not written in a shtar, in a document, the malve can only get payment for movable items. Meaning, whatever the guy has in his possession, the lover, he could take his money, he could repossess some of his possessions, but anything that the lover sold, there's no lien on those items. The only time liens go on property that the lover sold and the mavek can go after those properties is when it was written with a shtar. That's the value of a shtar. A shtar allows you to collect from what we call mishabedeh. Mishabedeh means properties that were leaned. Okay, so now we're talking about a case where there was a document of a loan that took place. It was written in Persian. Persian witnesses, goyim, signed it. But it was given over in front of two Jews. So the question is, do you give the shtar any validity? So it sounds like from the Gemara, you don't give it too much validity. They're only letting you collect from Bnei Chore. They're only letting you collect from the movables. They're not letting you collect from such a leaned property. Now let's read that in Nashi. Nashi says, Shtara parsa'a sha'asa'u b'shon parsi ve'hatmu parsiim idyotot alav. Good, and the parsiim signed it. So comes the Gemara and says, take from Bnei Chore. Bnei Chore means Bnei Chorin. So the Gemara says, hold it. Forget about the shtar. I'm discussing the shtar. What did the witnesses notice? The witnesses are testifying, we saw the shtar being given over, that the loveh gave the shtar to the malveh, and therefore the shtar is a legal shtar. When the malveh comes in with the shtar, you got to have witnesses that maybe faked it.
I thought they told about the transaction.
No, they didn't see the transaction. If they saw the transaction, I don't care about the shtar. They saw the transaction, they saw the money being handed over, they don't need to do anything, they saw the money. Okay. We're talking about it, we didn't see the money, but they saw the shtar being handed over. Only problem is, what do they tell? They don't read Parsi, these guys. So they're going to come along and say, the Malveh says, hey, this shtar over here, how do you know that shtar was given over? You don't even read anything, the language. How can you testify the shtar that you don't even know right. if it's the shtar that you saw being given over because you don't read the language? So look at that sheet, the Gemara. The Gemara says, they don't know how to read, these guys. So what do I care that they saw the shtar being given over? Gemara says, they know. Okay. Another problem, but on a shtar, the way we write our shtarot in the betin, Jewish betin, they write it on special cloth. Special cloth that's processed with a certain way, with gold nuts and things like that, that causes the cloth to become forge proof. Because if you're going to erase on it, it's going to make a mark. You'll know that it was erased. The Goyim, they don't make their shtarot like that. So you can fool around. You can erase something, you can add numbers, change numbers. So such a shtar is not a good shtar. So therefore, you're right, you have two witnesses, Jews. They know Parsi. But the shtar, the cloth itself, is bad enough. It's forgeable cloth. Because they don't process it in the way that we make it. Gemara says, they did it. Bidafisan. They put the gold nuts on it. They made the cloth like we make it.
So if someone doesn't.
Oh, so what's the problem then? So comes Gemara and says, "Vabaina sarik shi'azon mi'anyano shel shtar b'shita acharona veleka." Rabbis made another law like this. You have a shtar. They write whatever. Let's say this guy owes me, whatever, $10,000, and they write all the conditions of the shtar, when it's payable, and so on and so forth. Then a normal shtar, you have the two signatures on the bottom. That they testified to the transaction. Good. The rabbis were concerned like this. What if we want the witnesses to sign right under the transaction. We don't want any space between the transaction statement and the signatures. But the rabbis were concerned, sometimes witnesses, they're not always careful to sign right underneath. They're going to sign on the bottom. Now it's going to happen. Exactly. The mazveh can come along now and add, and we're including here, he lent, borrowed for me another $10,000. And you got the witnesses on the bottom. So what the rabbis mandated is, at the end of every shtar, you got to fill in the fill in the lines. And what they would basically do is they would repeat the conditions of the Start at the bottom. Again, and we have a kinyan over here that the malve lent to love $10,000. They repeat it in order that there's no blank. So when the Eidim sign, it's right there. It's foolproof. But the Goyim don't do that. The Goyim don't have this custom over here. So therefore, how did you collect with such a start? Maybe the malve added some extra payments over there that are not true. So the Gemara says, I'm reading that, so "V'ha ba'ina sarishi yazor ma'inyano shel shtar b'shita acharona." The law is that on the last line you got to repeat the conditions of the halva'a. V'leka, Gemara says, "B'demid hadir, you did it. They did it. They followed that practice also. So basically, the shtar is a good shtar. The witnesses are good witnesses, so what's the problem? So therefore, why don't you collect from Mishabedeh also? Which means, when you have a shtar that's legal, you can even take from people that the fields were sold to. Which is, let's say the loveh sold the field after the loan was made, right? When you sell a field and you have an outstanding debt, what happens to that field? There's a lien on that field. The malveh is able to go to those fields. That's when I take a title search to make sure that there's no liens on it. So if and there's a shtar here, and the shtar is done perfectly. So what's the problem? Gemara says a very important rule. Gemara says, let lekala. There is no literally voice, which means like this. There's a rule. Why is a shtar allow me to go take property that was sold? Because when you had signatures, specifically Jewish signatures on a shtar, the witnesses talk. Yeah, we signed a document, this guy borrowed money, and there's what's going on, there's a call. The voice goes out, and in the real estate market, they hear that talk. If anybody buying a property is going to know that this guy has outstanding pledges. And therefore, and they still buy it, they say, okay, they're taking a risk. But the buyer of the field from the loveh has to know that there's stuff out there. If he's blindsided, has no idea that there's liens and there's no call, so then you can't come to me and say, oh, by the way, we're taking the field. I didn't hear anything about that. When goyim sign on a shtar, they don't talk. And therefore, it's unfair for the buyer of the fields now to take his field away without him knowing it. Look at that, she on the bottom. Let le kala. Literally, there's no voice. The fisha'in hotmim Yisrael. The sahadeh da hatimi ashtara. The witnesses that sign an ashtar, inun mafke lekara. They make the talk. They make the noise. Ufichach, ena lokeach nifsad. The guy that bought the field doesn't lose out. Why? Damar le. Lo avaya dana de mishtabedak. Didn't you know? You knew. You heard the rumors. Only of Jews, but Goyim, I guess, don't talk. And therefore, the shtar is legal, everything's nice. You got the Medem Mesira, they understand Persian, and they wrote the shtar with the right to cloth. They filled in the blanks. Everything's nice, only one problem. You're learning a cloth now. When Goyim signed in the shtar, no call, no mishabedeh. Just one point to point out. That which we say there's no call in a shtar that was signed by Green, that's only because it was signed by Hidyotot. But the Befarshi put that if it was done in Arkaot, in the official court of the Goyim, there's a call in the official court, therefore you'd be able to take from even mishabedeh. This was a case of Hidyotot. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'amin Rishakish Rabbi Yohanan. New question. Edim ha'atumim ala get. Interesting case. You have witnesses that are signed on a get. Rashi says, "Ume'eretz Yisrael ba." Right, the get was written in Israel. De'ah lo kavod datem. It doesn't say medinat hayam. So Rashi, that's why Rashi is tipped off to say that the case is even in talking about in Israel. So what's the problem with the get? Vishmotam kishmot ovde kochavim, which means the names in the star. The names of the Jews, the names that are similar to of the Kochavim. Now, you look at the shtar. Now, if they're Jews,
you don't know.
Okay, got no problem. The Jews, the shtar is okay. Everything's fine. However, if not, so we have a problem. Look at Ashi. Ve'lo yad'ina, second line, I of the Kochavim minu, o Yisrael, ma'u la'akshure ba'ade mesira. Now, we're talking about we have ade mesira over there. Because you don't have ade mesira, then you're going to have a problem. So can I rely on the Adem Mesira and also say probably they're Jewish? Until now we always said what? That if it's Shemot She'ena Muvakim, but that's Chutz La'aretz. We said Shemot She'ena Muvakim, no good. Because what? I might come to use them and so on and so forth, right? So now, here it's a little better. Here I have a Sefik, they might be Jewish.
But it is Shemot Muvakim.
Right? No, it's Shemot that... No.
No.
It's names that the Goyim have and the Israelim have. So I read the question again. Edim, you're right. I make a Gezerah. If the Goyim understand... No. Let's go slow. Take a case where it was Shemot She'ena Muvakim. With Adem Mesira. No good. Right. Why? Because I'm concerned that I might think these guys are Jewish.
But that's only right? Gezerah.
Good. You don't need fine. But that's the Asur.
Okay.
And therefore, I'm going to say what? I cannot use this star, and the get is no good, because I might come to use them as Adem Mesira.
Right.
Now the Gemara has a little different question here. Edim Artimah Leget V'Shmotam Kishmot of De Kochavim. Which means we don't know if there was, you have a safek. We don't know if they're Jewish or not. I mean, till now we were always talking about, we know they're goyim, it's just that they don't have obvious names. Get clarity. Till now we never talked about a safek if they were Jewish or not. Till now we talked about they don't have, we know they're goyim, it's just that they don't have obvious names of goyim, so we're going to be concerned that you might come to use them. Here we have a Sefik, they might be Jewish. So now the Gemara's question is, Amar le, so Yemau, what's the deen over here? Could you rely on the Adem Mesira or not? So he comes along and says, Lo bali yadenu ela lukus velus vichshavnu. Which means, the only case that ever came to us was where we got to get that obvious goyim names were written in the shtar, like Lucas and Luz. So the Gemara says, "Vedafka Lucas veLuz, Telush Chiyis said the Maskev Shmatayu." Jews do not call themselves by that name. Aval Shemahata Achadini, but other names, the Chiyis said the Maskev Shmatayu. We have to be concerned that Jews use those names that they call them. No, we're not going to be makshid to get, which is even in the place we have a sefek that they're Jews, like in Eretz Yisrael. So you see over here a tremendous humrah. It's gotta be Shemot Muvakim that Jews do not use Bichlal. And you're in a place where you suspect that they might be Jewish. And it's names that Jewish people also use. Doesn't matter. You have to be concerned that they might be Goyim and you might come to use them and therefore no good. So Gemara says, what are you talking? Etibet. Gemara has a question. Gitina ba'im medina tayyab. Different case. Gitin coming from Chutz La'aretz. Ve'adim hatumim alim. There's witnesses on them. Afapi shishmotehem kishmot of the kochavim. Even though the names on the get are goy names, kesherim. The get is okay. You know why? Mepnei shirov Yisrael shebechutz La'aretz shimotehem kishmot of the kochavim. Because in Chutz La'aretz, the majority of Jews, their names are like goyim. And the majority of Jews are signing Gittin. Who signs Gittin? Jews. So therefore, the Gemara wants to say like this. The Gemara wants to make a kavachomer. Over here, we're not talking about even with Ade Mesira. We're talking about the shtar itself comes to Beit Din. In Chutz La'aretz, a get, comes to Beit Din in Chutz La'aretz. And we say over here, you know what? You got to assume it's kosher. We don't know, maybe it's Goyim on the start. Now, you know what? Over there, the Goyim and the Jews have the same names as Goyim. And what? We know who usually signs on Gittin? Jews. So therefore, no problem. So if you're going to rely on that get, where the names are like the names of Goyim, certainly in this case over here, where it's in Eretz Yisrael, where you have a suspect that they might be Jewish, and you have Adem Mesira, that will be on top of it. Which means it's even better. Which means you have an alternate set of witnesses. If I'm being makshira get alone, just alone with Adi Hatima in Chutz La'aretz, because the Goyim and the Jews have the same names and the majority of Jews sign the documents like that. So certainly I should rely on what? Whenever Sefik and have Adi Mesira, certainly it should be okay. Oh, so comes again what it says. We gave you the reason. Hatam ki diktari tama. The Sherov Yisrael Shemot Tzahar Shemotem Kishmot of the Kochavim. There's a big difference, which means over there in Chutz La'aretz, the reason why we're going to be lenient is because the majority of Jews have same names like Goyim. That's the reason why you're going to be Mekel. And why? Because Goyim don't sign on the Gittin that often. However, you're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, and over there, it's not so common that Jews have the names of Goyim. And therefore, when you have a name over here, that it's questionable that, if the guy's Jewish or not, and the name is not such a clear name, you can't just say, oh, it's probably a Jewish guy. No, and Eretz Yisrael, the Jews don't call themselves by Goyim names. Therefore, it's the biggest effect. So we have no ra'aya, just because you were lenient in Chutz La'aretz, to be lenient in Eretz Yisrael. Comes the Gemara has a totally different version of this whole piece just now. V'ika de amre, ki batnita be'amine, upashatna me'matnita. Second version of this one. Yeah. Scratch everything we just read. New version. The question originally that was asked from, I guess it was Rish Lakish to the Biyohanan, was the exact case of the Braita. A get that was written in Chutz La'aretz, where the names of the Jews are similar to the names of the Goyim. Is such a get good? And he answered him, we have a Beferush Braita that says, yes, it is good. Which means the discussion was never about a get in Eretz Yisrael that has similar names that can go either way. Now, according to this Ika de Amre, it comes out that a get that comes from Eretz Yisrael, according to the Yohanan, is no good. Which means even it sounds like that it's about once, even Lucas and Luce, even names that are explicit, it's not going to work in Eretz Yisrael on even explicit names. The only question was in Chutz La'aretz, where Jews have similar names as the Goyim, could you get away with it? He said, yeah, Braita says you can't get away with it. View the two versions, so this is outside. The Gemara said like this. First version, the Yohanan was asked a question of the Shakish. You have people in Eretz Yisrael, have a get. The names are like the names of Goyim. They were not Mufakim. They're the names that can go either way. That was the problem. We don't know if they're Jews on the get. We don't know if they're Goyim on the get. So he answered him back and he said, listen, I'll tell you what I know. The only thing we mekel on is Lucas and Luz with the Beferuz Goyim names. But anything not like that, Sefek, no good. Which is even worse now. Which means either you have a Sefek that they're Jewish, doesn't matter. It's got to be Lucas and Luz. So they asked the question. So what are you talking about? We have a statement in the Braita that says in Eretz Yisrael we have a get. In Chutz La'aretz we have a get, and the names over there go either way. Jews have names like the Goyim over there. We said it's okay even without Adem Mesira. It's kosher get. In this case over here we have a statement with Adem Mesira. It should be okay. Tadari comes along and says, no, we give the answer. The reason why they're Mekel is because the names of the Goyim and the Jews are the same, and the majority of Jews sign Gittin. So you have a good reason to say what? That it's a Jew, you don't have a problem. But you have no ra'ayah from this Braita to learn the case of Eretz Yisrael where the Jews do not have the names of the Goyim, and therefore you have this name of it and go either way, could be you're going to be Mahmir. Mm-hmm. First version. Second version, we never discussed Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, we're Mahmir, even Lucas and Luce. Oh, what was the question? In Chutz La'aretz, where the Jews adopted the names of the Goyim, we have a sefek that the guy could be Jewish. And we know that the majority of Jews signed Gittin. What do you say there? So he brought him the Braita. Yeah, Braita says clearly that it is Mutar. Kamzi, next Mishnah, Omer. Okay, this is a case that we learned earlier. I'm just going to review it outside for you. This is the case of Zakin, Adam Shlomo Fanav. A guy sends a get to his wife. He gives it to the Shaliyah. The lady has no idea this gets on the way. The husband's shaliach, make it clearer to you than I did in previous cases. The husband's shaliach, walking to the get, he sees a guy in the town of the wife. And the guy says, for example, what are you doing? I'm giving this get to Mrs. So-and-so. The guy's okay, I'll take it for her. So he gives it to this guy that's being zoche it for the second guy, accepting it for the wife. Now, if you say that receiving a get is a detriment to the wife, so therefore, the fact that the Shaliyah accepted it doesn't mean anything, because we have a law, en havin le'adam shelo b'fanav. You can't cause a detriment to somebody without them knowing it. She didn't appoint the guy to receive the get. And therefore, until she actually receives it, the husband is able to retract. Mm-hmm. Now, why is it a detriment to receive a get? Obvious. She loses sustenance. She loses her support. Now, Ha'omer, 10 get ze l'ishti, ushtar shahrur ze l'avyo, for them, ushtar shahrur, a paper of freedom for the Eved. Im ratzal la'azor b'shneem, ya'azor. Tivrei Rabbi Meir. Logic by an Eved also, it's a hov, because as long as he's working there, he gets sustenance and things like that. Right? Now, and he gives the read. Rachamim omrim. Bigiten hashim. A get is a detriment. Avalt lo b'shichrure amadim.
Wow.
He says, but freeing a guy is a zechut. Why? Nefi shezachin le'adam shelo b'fanav, ve'en havin lo ela b'fanav. Now, the question is, why isn't freeing a slave a chov? He loses his sustenance. So Gemara says, "Shim yirtze shelo lazun et avdo rashai," because even when he's working, he doesn't have to feed him. So therefore, he didn't lose anything. He could have not fed him when he was working. So you didn't lose panasa. You didn't have that anyway when you were working. So therefore, it's a zechut for him just to go free. However, v'shelo lazun et eshto enu rashai. A guy can't come along and say, "I'm not supporting my wife." So therefore, the divorce is going to cause a definite loss. So therefore, the Hakamim want to make a chiluk between divorce is a chov, freeing a slave is a zechut. What's the nafkamina? Can he retract? Which means if you hold it to zechut, once the shaleh receives the gift on behalf of the eved, that's it. There's no backing out. It's considered a zechut. Therefore, it's automatic. Of course, the eved has to get the actual document itself, but the retraction already ends once it is received. So again, the mahlokit, we're crystallizing now the mahlokit a little better. The mahlokit between Hachamim and Rabbi Meir is only by an Eved. Everybody agrees by what? That a lady, it's a hof. Because she definitely is losing sustenance. Because the husband had no right to hold back sustenance when they were married. Right. That's where you come into the mahlokit. Amar Lahem. So Rabbi Meir comes along and says, Vareu poselet avdo min ha-teruma. Kishem shu posel et ishto, hold it. He is losing something. He's losing the fact he cannot eat teruma anymore. We have a law that says an eved, obviously eved is not a kohen, but if he's an eved of a kohen, he's considered kenyan kaspo. He's his acquisition. And the Torah says not only does the kohen's family eat teruma, but any of his acquisitions eat teruma. So the Bimia says, hey, you took the guy's teruma. It's a hof. He cannot eat teruma anymore. So comes Gemara and answers back. The Mishnah says, he tells him back, Amar them, Vareu posef do min ha-teruma, kashem shu posef eshto, question, Amru lo, mepnesh shu kinyano. He answers back and says, because he is his acquisition. We don't know what that answer is. The Gemara is going to explain to us exactly what this last dialogue with the teruma was between the Bimi'ir and Hachamim. We wait for the Gemara to give that opinion. Okay. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.